You know, one day, church, Christ will come for his bride, the church.
And he will bring us back to himself. It'll be the wedding of all weddings, won't it? Glorious, eternal celebration. That's what we just sang about. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm glad to be here today. My name is Troy Sykes. I'm the associate pastor here at Brenham's First Baptist Church, and I'm excited to be able to share God's word with you today. How many of you remember when you were kids being sick and having to stay home from school, and maybe mom or grandmother making you that famous homemade chicken soup? You remember that? Yeah, some of the hands going up everywhere, or chicken and dumpling soup. Man, listen, when that happened, you just felt better. I did a little survey of some church members and asked them about that moment when they were kids and taking mom's soup. And Pat Schrader in our church said it was love in a bowl. Bill Whitman, who's somewhere, where is he? There's Bill over there. Bill said, from the first bite, things were feeling and looking better. Martha Hayden said that her sore throat was soothed instantly when she took mom's soup. Susan Apple said it was the best ever medicine. Lee Gonzalez, who's right down here, said it made me feel loved and cared for. Guys, all of us in this room at one time or another get physically sick. And we may want to get some soup. But all of us in this room also feel sickness in a deeper way. A sickness of the soul. A sickness of the heart. And when that comes, we need some soup for our soul as well. Today we're going to continue our sermon series about living a God-centered life. And today we're going to talk about alphabet soup for the soul. Alphabet soup for the soul. The psalmist is going to give us some substance, some soup substance for our soul in Psalm 119, and we're going to start reading in verse 49. If you don't have a copy of the scripture, there's one in the chair in front of you, and you look in on page 438, I think is the passage there. So, Psalm 119, starting in verse 49. Remember the word to thy servant, in which thou hast made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. Thy word has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from thy law. I have remembered thine ordinances from of old, O Lord, and I comfort myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake thy law. But thy statutes, they are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. O Lord, I remember thy name in the night, and I keep thy law. Thou hast become mine, and this has become mine, and I observe thy precepts. I brought an object lesson today. Many of you may recognize this. What is this? This is a what? An anchor. Now, what is the purpose of an anchor? To weigh down a boat, right? When you get to a place in the lake or in the ocean and you want to stay put, you drop anchor, right? And the anchor rests on the bottom to keep the boat stable, to keep the boat from drifting, right? If you and I have a sin-sick soul, we are weary, we are lonely, we are depressed, we're whatever. Listen, we need to anchor to something to keep us from drifting. And the psalmist tells us that we are to anchor to God's word. Anchor to God's word. Throughout Psalm 119, we have discovered a theme in each section. In each section, the psalmist reminds us that we need to anchor to the foundational truth of God's word, God's law, God's statutes, God's judgments. And it's no different in this section. Because if you look in verse 49, he says, remember the word to your servant, Lord. Verse 50, he says, your word has revived me. 51, I do not turn aside from thy law. Verse 52, I've remembered thy law. your judgments. 54, your statutes are my songs. In verse 55, I'm keeping your law. See, he's saying, I am anchored to God's word. God's word means something to me, but also God's word does something for him. It doesn't just mean something to him. It has a purpose in his life. You see, we anchor to God's word because it has purposes for us. Look in verse 49. He says God's word gives him what? Look in verse 49. Gives him what? Say it out loud. Gives him what? Hope. Verse 50. God's word does what? It revives him. In verse 52, God's judgments do what? They comfort him. In verse 54, God's statutes are his songs. They're melodies in his life. God's word in verse 55 and 56 gives him assurance. He says, they are mine. And why does he need hope? Why does he need reviving? Why does he need comforting? Why does he need to sing the songs of God? Why does he need assurance? Because God has told us and we have experienced life is hard. Life's hard. We live in a fallen world. And you and I need hope. And we need reviving. And we need comfort. And we need songs. He is reminding us that we need to anchor ourselves in the unchanging, unwavering Word of God that never drifts. Amen? When we need soup for the soul, where do we turn? Do we turn to the Scripture? Do we turn to the foundational anchor of God's Word? Because let me tell you, something between the promises of God's Word and how they play out in our lives, there will be testing. Have y'all experienced that? Between the fulfillment of the promises and how they fulfill in our lives, you and I are going to be tested. We must find a place of anchor so that we don't drift when the trouble comes. When you and I are lonely, to what do you anchor yourself? Do you anchor yourself in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, where God says, fear not, I am with you, do not be dismayed? When you and I are afraid, do we anchor ourselves in Psalm 27, verse 1, where it says, the Lord is the light and my salvation, in whom shall I fear? Do we believe and do we anchor ourselves in God's word when we're angry? James chapter 1 verse 19 and 20 tells us, be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become what? Angry. Because the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Do we anchor ourselves in God's word when we're worried? Do we anchor ourselves in Philippians 4, 6, and 7 that says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Is that our anchor when we're worried? When we're depressed, do we anchor ourselves in Deuteronomy 31, 8 that says, the Lord himself goes before you and be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. When our relationships are struggling, do we believe Ephesians 4:32 that says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you? You see, when we're struggling, when we need soup for the soul, we have a choice, y'all. We have a choice where to anchor ourselves. It is my hope and prayer that you don't anchor yourself and your comfort in a pill or a bottle or an internet website, but that you anchor yourself in the truth of God's word that never drifts and is always solid and always dependable, that never fades, that is always true. If we need soup for the soul, A, anchor yourself in God's word. B, bask in God's work. Bask in God's work. Anyone here suffering from the what am I here for syndrome? You know what I mean? The what am I here for syndrome? You know, you walk into a room and you stop and you say, what am I here for? I'm 60 now. And I find myself many times walking down somewhere or doing something, and I'm in a direction, and then I have to stop and go, where am I going? What am I doing? Can I get an amen? Right. Thank you. You know, we do the same thing spiritually. In our walk with God, we're walking with Him. And then eventually we go, what am I here for? What is He doing in my life? Many times we know that God is faithful. But in our walk, we get spiritual amnesia. I love what happens in this psalm in verse 52 and 55. Because in these two verses, the psalmist does something to help himself with his troubled heart. Look in verse 52. What does he do? Look what he says in verse 52. I have what? Remembered thine ordinances. I have remembered your judgments of old. I remember what you did yesterday. I remember your faithfulness unto me, God, in my past. And because I remember, because I bask in that, I am comforted. And look in verse 55. He says, in the night of my soul, I remember your name. And I keep your law. You get the idea that the psalmist is intentionally and deeply reflecting on who God is and what He's done in his life. He's basking. He's reveling as he remembers. Because God has healed him. Because God has forgiven him. Because God has revived him. Because God has redeemed him. Because God is his satisfaction. He is finding soup for his soul. We need to bask in God's blessings and know that his name has not changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see this progression. The same God who saved you yesterday is sustaining you today and will sustain you for how long? Forever. You see, guys, the same God who graced you with forgiveness yesterday is the same God who forgives you today and is the same God who will forgive you how long? Forever in Christ Jesus. You see, God, the same God who secured your eternity yesterday is the same God who holds you today and is the same God who will hold you forever. Amen? I'm going to take a little quick survey among our people here. How many of you believe that God is always at work to accomplish His plan and His ways? Lift your hand. Woohoo, keep your hands up. Look around. Everybody here has just said, I agree, God's at work in your life. He's accomplishing His plan. How many of you agree that God is love? Oh, everybody's hands go up again. Good. How many of you believe that God's ways are always right and He never makes a mistake? Again, 100%. Good job, y'all. So if we believe those things, if that's our conviction, then what do we know based on those three things? Here's what we know. We know that God loves us and He always will. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love, period. Therefore, He will always be true to His nature and character, right? God cannot act outside of His nature. Therefore, God's actions toward us will always be love, even when it hurts. Right? We know this. God is love. Second, we know this. That listen, whatever happens in our life, God's work and God's plan will be best and right for Him and for us, right? So that means that whenever we go through trial or trouble or heartache, we know that in the end, God's plan is best and right. We also know that no matter how we feel in our condition, that we have faith that God's faithfulness will be shown. You see, it's His faithfulness over my feelings. Always. His faithfulness over my feelings. We also know that when the nights come, that God's name will always dawn. When we enter trials or heartaches or loneliness or fear or worry or grief or sickness, we know that God's character does not change based on our circumstance. Therefore, His actions toward us will not change. He can only operate in His character and nature, which are love and good. So we do not have to fear. Because God's plans are always right, right? We just said that. What the psalmist is saying is that if we're sick and we're needing help for our soul, bask in the unchanging nature of God. He who keeps Israel neither slumbers or sleeps, and He will keep you too. He's not asleep on your job. He's not asleep on your life. He is working right now. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? So that means no, whatever night you're going through right now, worried, concerned, fearful, God is doing His work, and trust Him. In His time, it's going to be best. We must bask in His acts of mercy and His compassions that never fail. Great is Thy faithfulness toward me, according to Leviticus 3, 22 and 23. We must bask in the truth that we can bless the Lord, O our soul, and forget not His benefits. You know what happens when we don't bask? You know what happens when we don't spend time basking in the goodness of God? You know what happens? Blindness. Blindness. We forget and we don't see the blessings around us. And we don't taste the soup for the soul. Listen, you may be here today and you may feel like your boat is drifting in the night. Your soul is weary. Let me remind you to remember the work of God. God is doing His work, church, I promise you. And in His time, He is going to make a fulfillment into your life. He has satisfying soup, and His work can be counted on. Count your blessings. Name them what? One by one. That leads us to our last letter. C, carry a tune of worship. Anchor yourself in God's word. Bask in God's work. C, carry a tune of worship. How many of you believe that music is powerful? Oh man, music is so powerful. Music will work on our mind, right? It can take you to many thoughts and deep places. Music affects our body. Some of you, when we sing, you clap. Some of you, when we sing, your toe taps. Some of you, not on beat. We're Baptist here. We know. So music will move our heart. It will lift us to places of memory. It'll make you weep. It'll make you smile. It'll make you lift your hands. God gave music to stir our soul. And the Bible is filled with music, thousands and thousands of references to God speaking and praise and singing. Psalm 95:1 says, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Ephesians 5:19 says, to speak with one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and praise choruses. In the Bible, the rabbis sang. In the Bible, the disciples sang. Y'all know Jesus sang too? Angels sing to the glory of God in heaven. And listen, if you and I don't sing, the Bible says the very rocks will cry out. When I read the Bible, I can't help but to see that God tells me, hey, Sykes, carry a tune. Carry a tune. And all throughout my relationship with God, I've experienced the power of praise music, haven't you? Have you ever gone to sleep at night just dwelling and just thinking about today and maybe worried or maybe bothered, and then when you wake up in the morning, there's a praise song on your lips? Have you ever had that? You see, guys, in the night of our soul, in the night, sometimes God comes, and when we wake up, the night has drifted away, and you find yourself in sunshine, right? That's S-O-N, sunshine. Verse 54 of the scripture. The psalmist says, thy statutes are my what? My songs. In the house of my pilgrimage. In other words, he's saying, in my house, I'm singing praise choruses. He is worshiping in the Word. He's got a toe-tapping tune that wakes him up in the morning. Guys, when we sing songs to our Savior, we will find ourselves savoring, not souring. When we carry a tune, there is power. I love, there's a portion of scripture in Acts chapter 16. It's a great story. It's about Paul and Silas. They've been preaching in the city, in the region of Macedonia. They're preaching in a city called Philippi. And they get in trouble with the local officials for telling people about Jesus. And the local officials put them into jail. So at midnight, the Bible says, they're in the middle of the jail and they are sour. And they are mad. And at midnight, they're nagging and complaining about the jail conditions and the circumstances of the jail. And they're whining and complaining, right? No. What are they doing at midnight in the middle of jail? They're singing. They're singing. And as they sing unto the Lord, what does the Bible say happens? Earth begins to shake. And the doors of the prison do what? They bust open. It's earthquaking, soul-shaking revival. Because they were singing unto the Lord. Right? Yeah, right. Thank you. My little friend out there. Guys, listen. When we sing, not scheme, when we sing, God does incredible work. We need to carry our cares unto Christ in a tune. When we sing, prison walls spiritually begin to fall. When we praise, there's power. You see, guys, when we sing, walls of woe fall like Jericho. You remember that story in the Bible? God's people marched around Jericho day after day. And on the last day, y'all remember what they did? They shouted glory and they played trumpets and they sang and the walls came down. Guys, it's the same in our lives. When we worship, it carries us to a different place. It unlocks things for us. Don't forget to carry a tune in the night. It was April 2013. I was in the night of a soul. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but preachers have souls too. We get down. April 2013, I was driving back and forth from Brenham to Houston, and specifically in Houston to MD Anderson Hospital. My mom had been battling stomach cancer for a couple of years. And in April of 2013, it came back to the point where the doctors at MD Anderson weren't giving us much hope, right? I was praying, Kel was praying, family was praying, you as a church were praying for me and my mom, and she was praying, she's a woman of faith. But we had reached a point when we were low on hope. On the outside, I had it all going together, right? But in the heart, I was weary. I was hurting. I needed a song in my house. I needed some soul soup. The night was dark, so to speak. One morning driving into Houston on 290, I was listening to KSBJ, and a song came on by one of my favorite artists. His name is Bebo Norman, Christian artist. And the words of this song just sunk deep into my soul. The city of Houston was buzzing. Everything was coming to life, right? Everything was stirring, and so was Holy Spirit. As I listen to the song, it says, I'm afraid the time here I have is borrowed. All of my heart and all of my soul, all of my faith to pieces fall as I go. But I will sing of your glory now. I will sing of your glory now and forever. When all I thought was sacred and shattering in the fallout, and my feet of clay the weight of no longer could carry, when love is not a feeling and hope feels like a cop-out, and the ground beneath my feet was shifting and I'm buried, and all of my heart and all of my soul, all of my faith, the pieces fall as I go. I will sing of your glory now. I will sing of your glory now and forever. And then this lyric came. Said, hold tight the sacred ties that bind this weary soul. And it grabbed me. I was in the hallowed of heaven at that point, and I sang, I'll sing of your glory now. I'll sing of your glory. Sing of your glory now and forever. God met me. I was lifted. I was carried to the sanctuary of my soul. My feet of clay were all of a sudden shored. The shifting ground of grief and death was held tight in the sacred binds that held my weary soul to know that my mom is held eternally, and so am I. For weeks, I sang glory of God now and forever until the day she passed. Have you ever been there? Maybe it was a hymn. Maybe it's a song of praise. Maybe it's a song on the radio. But a tune tuned your heart. Tuned your heart to the Lord, and the locks of your life were loosened up, and you lost, your lost voice was lifted unto the Lord, and praise brought down your prison. When you need soup for the soul, anchor to God's word. Bask in God's work. What he did yesterday is carrying it out today and will carry forever. And last, carry a tune of worship in your heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of your word today. Thank you that we anchor and that you anchor. That nothing according to John 10:28, nothing or no one can snatch us from your hand. That we can be anchored in the security, in the rock of Jesus Christ and the foundation of your word. But God, your work in us that began long ago or yesterday is still true today and will be true tomorrow and the day after this. I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on and complete it in Christ Jesus. That's a promise from your word. You are our work, and we trust in that word. Father, we can carry a tune into the night. We can praise you for your goodness, and we can praise you for the trials that we go through. When nights come, may we sing of your name and glory forever and ever. Today, somebody in this room is needing some soup for the soul. Life has been hard. Maybe it's their family. Maybe it's their child, grandchild. Maybe they're dealing with an illness. Maybe it's terminal. Maybe they're wallowing in some heartache. Somebody here today is going through a relationship breakup. They're needing soup for the soul. I pray today, Holy Spirit, you have reminded them to anchor, to bask, and to carry. If someone here today needs to make a decision public, Heavenly Father, your Holy Spirit, I pray that you give them the courage to do that. Maybe they just want to pray with one of our staff members to say, listen, I need a friend. Let's pray to God. Maybe today somebody is needing to surrender and give their life up to Jesus Christ. They've never released their life unto you, Jesus. May they do that today. May they feel that weight. May they feel that pull. Maybe somebody today, Father, here needs to say, listen, I'm ready to plant myself and be a missionary unto the Lord here at this church, to do the mission of this church. And they want to come and do that. Give them the courage. Whatever decisions are here today, God, I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would be Lord and that you would move. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.